Hey, yo, turn my mic up. It's been 10 years on the air, and her royal loudness is back bigger and louder than ever. Join me every Monday at 6 p.m. for great music, interviews, news you can lose, and a word from Minister Petty Patty. Yeah, I got the petty word for you, too. So listen, get ready for the Tamika Hall Radio Show. Happy Monday, it's your girl Tamika Hall here. You're tuned into the Tamika Hall Radio Show here on iWorship 96 FM Radio, where we spend the best in gospel and Christian music. How is everybody doing today? I'm going to tell you, I have had such a full weekend. You ever have those weekends where it seems to pass by in the blink of an eye and you're like, what did I even accomplish? I'm in the process of moving. And, you know, that can be a lot of fun because the best part for me is shopping for new furniture. I'm just saying, am I the only person that once you start packing, you're like, yo, I did not know I had this much stuff. I've been throwing away shoes and clothes. I've been throwing stuff away that my kids, I think they forgot about, you know. You gotta do that. You gotta make sure that you get stuff out so you can kind of like, you know, leave the old and walk into the new. And my main thing is I like walking into a clean, ready house. I'm just saying. And, you know, speaking of really great things, I have a good show for you planned on tonight. I've got Minister Terralene Campbell, who is in the house, in the virtual house. We're gonna be talking about her new book, Carefree to Caregiver. If anybody, if you or somebody that you know is a caregiver, then you understand the transition of when you are having to, you know, be taken care of a lot of times, and you turn around and you're the person that has to, you know, help with their upkeep and their health. And so if you know somebody like that, I want you to run and go get them, text them, inbox them, DM them, whatever it might be. Send a smoke signal, boo, send a hot air balloon and let them know that they need to jump on the air in just a few minutes. Also have an incredible group in the house. The ladies of Esther are here. You know, I'm super excited for you to meet this group of ladies. They are just incredible. I know we're going to have, you know, a lot of fun. I know it's going to be a lot of fun. And I also have devotional author, Miss Kiwana Wright, who is also hanging out in the virtual studio. And we're going to be talking about her, the devotionals that she writes. And it's just going to be a good hour and a half, y'all. It's going to be a really good one. So I love it when we have just an eclectic group of guests. It's ladies' night. You know how we do here on the Tamika Hall Radio Show. I got something to stroke every single fancy that you may have. I'm going to tell you what else I got. I have some good music come your way. Keep it locked right here. I wish you like to sit down.
Come on, can you help me say? We to the Tamika Hall Radio Show. It's your girl, Tamika Hall, and we're live here on iWorship 96 FM Radio, where we spin the best in gospel and Christian music. I'm really excited because I've had Minister Terrilene Campbell hanging out in the virtual studio with me on tonight, and I'm excited to bring her to the forefront. So, Minister, how's it going tonight?
Hey, I am great. It's going well. Thank you, Tamika. I'm excited.
You're so welcome. Look, I'm excited, too. I love when folks' energy matches my energy. So you coming on saying, hey, yay, that's what's up. I like that because, you know, everybody calls me her royal loudness here in the studio and all that stuff like that. So it's good when I get folks who are not afraid to match my loudness. That makes me happy. So
I like your energy. It's catching.
Yeah, well, great, you know, great, I love it. Fun fact, so I know that you are a native of Hagerstown, Maryland. Now, a lot of people don't know, but when I was 19, I actually competed for the title for Miss Maryland America. So I want to know, wow. what was life like in Hagerstown when all of us pageant queens would descend upon the city? Because we took over the city during that week.
Yes, you did. You did, Tamika. Actually, someone that, she's a little older than me, but she was the first Black Miss Maryland, and she was from Hagerstown. Her name was Robin Harmon back in the 80s.
There it is.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, I
her brothers are friends of mine, and so that pageant week was very, very interesting because, yes, all these pretty ladies descended upon this city, this kind of small but, you know, known city. Otherwise, Hagerstown is known for, I say, the prisons and the outlets. But, you know,
really?
It's becoming known for other things. Yeah, and the pageant. Yeah, the outlet mall there now is, you know, well known.
But, you know, so it's amazing because, you know, when you're in the pageant world, especially in Maryland, you know, it's like Hagerstown, from my understanding, that was the city that always welcomed the pageant there. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a beautiful city. It's beautiful. And, you know, the funny thing is I grew up in the military. So, you know, been blessed to travel all over the world. And I've lived in places like Colorado and Utah where we were surrounded by mountains, but, you know, got older, lived in other places, and traveling into Hagerstown, finally was able to experience mountain life again. You know,
it's a beautiful
so,
drive, isn't it? On a pretty
beautiful.
Day. Like, this is
yes.
such a beautiful drive, yes.
It is an incredible
yes.
drive. I absolutely love it. So it's so cool to kind of talk to somebody who actually lived there. You're the first person I've ever spoken to that actually lived in Hagerstown.
okay,
I think it's a cool thing. Yeah. So, Terrilene, let's jump right into it because everybody's heard me utilize your title of you being a minister and all of that great stuff, and you actually answered the call to becoming a licensed minister back in 2002. So, you know, I want to ask you, because I know there are people that are tuned in from all over the world listening, you know, did you always want to be a minister, or was this a call that you ran from?
Tamika, real talk, this was one that I ran from. It was one, I can't say that I'm one who said, oh, since I was 5 years old, I grew up wanting to be in the pulpit. I absolutely did not. I really ran from it. It was as though God kept putting me in places and spaces. You know, the word says that our gift makes room for us. And I was asked, one of the first things, from growing up, I grew up in a church where we said those Christmas and Easter poems and pieces, they called them.
Yes.
And little did I know, I was reminiscing with someone a few months ago who said that she grew up the same way, and that little did she realize, even back then, you know, our mothers through our parents and our churches were preparing us to speak publicly. I didn't think about it then, you know, trying to memorize that thing every year. But fast forward, you know, and in adulthood, and quite honestly, no, I didn't seek it out, but the gift made room, and I would start to be asked to be worship leader or presider or MC, whatever you want to call it, over a service. And one of the first people to have that confidence in me, I'll give her a shout out, was my choir director, Tammy Ellard, at my church, Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church in Washington and in D.C. And so it was like the response, because I'm really more of that introverted extrovert. So
really?
I am perfectly, yes, I am, I love people, but I also am fine not being in the spotlight. But as the gift made room, and then I really started to hear the Lord say, and then he confirmed his word that you have something to share with people. And so I'm like, okay, all right, now how do I go about this? And
okay.
And then in talking to my own mother, who never became a licensed preacher, but she worked in the Ministry of Helps and in the missionaries and serving in her church for 40-some years, she shared with me that I needed to go with what God was saying, because she actually was transparent and said, learn from me, and that she felt the call to ministry, to preach, but she never pursued it. And she said her own pastor used to tell her that she was called, but she never pursued it. And she said, Tara, I don't want you to run from it like I did. And so I said, oh, okay. And, you know, I appreciated her transparency, because my mom was one of those people who would minister to women, young women in the neighborhood and things like that, and have hands-on ministry and to single parents and things like that, but she didn't preach. But I believe, and I told her this, I believe that God still used her in the space. Mm-hmm. It's not about the title, but it's about the work.
Oh, yes. And it sounds very much like, you know, my upbringing. You know, my mother also very deeply entrenched in the Ministry of the Helps. You know, I grew up Kojic, and so, you know, at one point my mother was in charge of the adjutant, and at that time we lived over in Germany, and so she was responsible for all the adjutants for, you know, those that for the district in Germany. And so, yeah, it's amazing when you grow up. Yeah, you grow up behind the scenes, because, you know, you just learn how to be that kid that knows how to sit and be quiet and wait for things to happen. And, you know, then my father was always preaching, and now, you know, my mother and my father both are pastors. And so it's like when you grow up in it, you find yourself like, okay, I guess I have been groomed for this my whole life. And so you're right, answering the call can actually be scary. And I was amazed, I know you heard it when you said, you know, that you were introverted, because you have a very diverse background when it comes to being in ministry. And I'm really, you know, I was really excited to read just about the different types of ministries that you've been a part of. For example, track and field outreach. I want to know what that is. I think that's so dope. You know, you're part of the altar workers and associate missionary ministries. You've been part of the music department and all of that good stuff. And so, you know, talk to us about what does it mean to actually find your place in ministry? Because I know people are listening and they resonate with the both of us. But it is something important to be able to find where you actually do fit in. So for somebody who has such a diverse background in ministry, talk to us. What does it mean to find your place in ministry?
I would say that the process of finding your place, go back, you know, you growing up Kojic, I'm sure you heard the mothers would say, what does the word say? And so I'll go back to the word and the scripture that says, whatever your hands find to do, and, you know, how we should do it as unto the Lord. And so some of that diverse background early on for me was me finding my place. Like with the track and field ministry, that was like our outreach ministry at our church. And so we would come together one Saturday a month, and we would pray, and then we would go out into the community in Northeast D.C., and we would witness to people, and we would have prayer with people out in the community. And so for me, I would say that a big part of me finding my way in ministry was really about me doing the work and letting God get the glory and letting God speak to me through that work and use me through that work, so that I was not, it's not for me about being on a platform or in a pulpit, but I believe that especially now in this season and time that we're living in, where we are really living epistles that are read by men and women. And so we have to be in the community. It's in our workplace. It's ministering one-on-one to so many people. I used to tell someone that I now mentor, but that I used to work with, that you don't have to carry the Bible under your arm every day with
That's
you.
Right.
But we need to, the word needs to be in us so that people can see God in us and through us. And so where there was a need, I tried early on, and I still do, to just be an answer as given by God to the need that's in the earth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. Because there definitely is a need everywhere. And I love the fact that you're pointing out the fact that, you know, ministry is not just within the four walls of the church, but sometimes we really have to take ministry out to other people, and we got to meet them where they are. So I love that. I love that. So, you know, obviously still in ministry, but you've shifted a little bit. And I want to talk about your new book, your book, From Carefree to a Caregiver. What was the inspiration behind writing your book?
That was the inspiration was life. It was my mom. It was a situation in 2010. My mom and I have been very close throughout the years. And so she went in for a routine surgery. Long story short, she went in for a routine surgery. She was doing fine in recovery. I went to see her that Sunday, traveled up to Hagerstown to see her. I live about an hour and a half away. And she put me out of the room, told me I'm good, don't come back, I'm good. She was in progressive care. So fine. Fast forward the next day, I called the hospital to check on her, and the critical care unit picked up. And I thought that I had been transferred to the wrong, I literally said, I think I was transferred to the wrong nurse's station. And they said, No, you were not. Your mother is now in critical care or ICU, and we tried to call you, and if you don't get here, she may not make it through the night. And I was literally driving home from work as I'm getting this news, and the hospital had called me at the one number that they couldn't reach me during the day, which was home, didn't call my work or cell. And so that took me from that, I say, the carefree part is when you're living your life, you're in your groove, you're in your routine, whatever, you know, your respective routine may be, and then the brakes get pumped, so to speak, and now you're shifted from that, not saying that carefree means life has no problems, but you're just in your groove living, and now you're shifted into being a caregiver, and it's a title that many of us, most of us, probably never thought. But here we are, and my mom went through 6 surgeries. She had what they called sepsis, which is when your organs start to shut down and your blood has got an infection. And all these surgeries was on life support for 2 months, and she lived until 2017. So for 7 years, I became her caregiver. All kinds of doctor's reports saying she wasn't going to make it. All kinds of reports saying that she would be no more than a vegetable, suggested, and I pulled the plug on my mother. But I tell you that God is a healer. God is amazing.
Yes, he is.
He can defy the doctor's reports. When I tell you, Tamika, that at one point they wanted me, they say she's been on life support for over a month. We don't think she's going to come out of this, but she was still able to at least see and to follow signals. And I remember when they said that to my cousins and I, we talked, we went into the room and talked to her, and my cousins, I was no good. My cousins asked my aunt, like, if this is too much for you, we'll help tear through everything, but if you want us to let you go. My mother got this look on her face like, what are you talking about? And Tamika, that was all that I needed. That was the sign that I needed to know that my mother was still going to fight for her life. And so if she was fighting for her life, we were going to fight along with her. And my mother regained, she had to end up going to a nursing home after that for the rest of her life, but she ended up being able to walk with help. She was able to eat regular food. She was able to transport herself from her bed to her wheelchair. When I had ministering engagements in Hagerstown, I would make sure there was transportation with wheelchair-equipped vans that could get her to the church so she could be there, because that's what she wanted. And, you know, she was always, again, she was a nurse in the church. She was over her denomination's nursing ministry. So my mom was the kind of person, when I would go to preaching engagements, my mom would already be there and tell the people, like, your daughter likes room temperature water.
Yes.
And so it shifted, you know, and I was her caregiver. And so I wrote it took me about 5 years to write the book. I started just journaling and going down to, I call my happy place or one of my peaceful places, which is Chesapeake Beach. And I would drive down there sometimes and just sit by the on the little boardwalk, and I would write and I would journal. But God said to me at one point, you've got to capture this in such a manner, because this is going to be a book, because you need to share this with other people. And I was starting to meet other people who were caregivers. And, you know, it's not something that you usually talk about. Like, you may know, oh, she's got her mother living with her, or her father is in a nursing home, but people don't always understand the life that goes with this. Someone's husband may have had a stroke, and they survived, and we praise God for that. But what about everything that comes along with that journey? Dealing with social workers, dealing with finances, having to spend down money so that, or possibly sell your property so that you can qualify for disability or for benefits. There's a lot that goes with that journey. And so I wrote the book, and I put it in a devotional form so that it's a 31-day devotional to encourage and to equip those who are in the caregiving space, because it was, there was a void. And then when I did research, I didn't see many books for caregivers, period. And then the ones that I did see, they weren't by people of color.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so I did it in a devotional form. Also, that's where the ministry kicks in, to help and to support spiritually and undergird those who are caregivers. And so I shared the journey in each passage, but then I also shared a prayer and a scripture for the caregiver to help them through every day.
Yeah. I love it. And because I was actually going to ask you, you know, why you chose to do it in a devotional style, but I agree with you. There aren't any devotionals out there for caregivers specifically. And you're absolutely right. Your whole life just, it shifts. I mean, it takes a shift, and it's not even an overnight thing. It is literally in an instant, that everything begins to shift. And I think it's great that you put something together, that can actually help people who are in that phase of their life. What's been the reaction from folks who have purchased the book?
It has been exciting. It has been surprising. You know, God does exceeding and abundantly above what we can ask or think. And through this book, I can be honest with you and say, Tamika, he has done that for me, because I didn't know what to expect, but I did not necessarily expect the support and the response from people. You know, there are people who love, who will purchase. My publisher says initially people may purchase, you know, the first 200, 300, because you may have a broad circle of influence and a broad, you know, social circle.
Yeah, and they love you.
But beyond friends
love
and
you,
family.
So they're gonna buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So I'm grateful, of course, to those, my friends and family, if you're listening, I love you and I thank you. On top of that, there have been so many other people who have just reached out to me, inboxing me on social media, hitting me up through my website, asking me to do caregiver workshops or to do talks about caregiving to their churches. I've done workshops at churches, which I think is great that churches are seeing the importance of bringing something like caregiving and workshops and education to their members, because some people are just down and they're depressed and they don't know how to articulate it. So the response has been absolutely phenomenal, and I'm grateful for that, because that means that it's reaching people. And there are people who are, you know, talking to me and just needing to share their experiences out of their experiences, because, yeah, again, they know that no caregiving journey is exactly the same, but they know that I understand because I've been there. Yeah.
I love it. And I love how when we actually say yes to God for one thing, he expands what we're doing in like five other ways. You know, I'm just like, God, you're you know, he's just so good like that. And he has such a great sense of humor. And, you know, I just love how he works and how he does that, because I'm sure you never expected to be doing workshops and, you know, and basically now kind of creating this network or a community for people. But it's a beautiful thing. It's definitely a beautiful thing. So what's next for you? What do you have, you know, what do you have coming up or coming down the pipeline? Is there a part two to from carefree to a caregiver? What's going on?
The next thing I'm working on is a CD, actually a companion CD that will be prayers, a CD of prayers for caregivers. That's the next thing, and I'm really working diligently to get that done before the end of the year. Just a CD of just prayer, because different days bring different emotions. And so, yeah, that's next. And then working to do I've already established a network on Facebook. If there are any listeners who are caregivers and you just want to join my Facebook group, it's called Caregiver Connect, and you can connect with me through social media as well. But just establishing just a network where we can communicate and connect. People can vent. There's no judgment. They can come in, ask questions, all types of things. Say, I need a break, y'all. I just need to share that. We do that in that group as well. And I did that as a result of the response of the book. Didn't think about doing it, but because of the response of the book and people wanted to stay connected, then I said, well, let's start this group so that caregivers can connect with others who feel what they feel and are where they are. So another thing that I'm looking to do is a webinar, like a caregiver symposium, but it will be online. And the reason for that is because, knowing my audience, caregivers are busy. And, you know, in many cases, they may work. And that was one of the things I struggled with when I was a caregiver. I did it one long distance. And some people think because they're not living with the loved one, doesn't live with them, that doesn't mean they're a caregiver. But according to AARP, if you've got financial, physical, or business oversight over someone, that makes you a caregiver. And so I understand, like for me, I contemplated having to take FMLA. I talked to my boss about that because I was like going back and forth, Lord, am I doing enough? And so I know that many caregivers are busy. They're raising children, they're working and trying to still live a life, but they're then caring for someone. So with that, we're not going to make it an event that they have to come out to, But a few hours of an online event for caregivers, and that will be in November.
I think that's a beautiful thing, and please make sure that you stay connected so that we, you know, can help push that, because, you know, you're absolutely right. The life just completely shifts and it completely changes, and this is definitely an event that folks need to be able to plug into from their phone, from their computer, and to be able to do that from all around the world would be just a beautiful thing. I wanted you to tell us, how can people purchase your book and how can people connect with you? I know you have the Facebook group, but how can people find you online and all that great stuff?
I'm glad you asked. The book itself is available on Amazon. It's also available on BarnesandNoble.com and Walmart.com. Not in the stores yet, but we're claiming that. But it is available on both of those websites and then Amazon. And for me, the book is also available, like if those some people prefer a signed copy, and I've got you there. My website is TerraleenCampbell.com, and that's TERALEEN, Campbell like the soup. .com. So you can also order books directly through my website. You can connect with me through my website. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for just connecting with me tonight and with my audience, and for just sharing about your ministry, about your beautiful mom, and just about where God has shifted you so far just in your walk with ministry. So thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Tamika. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Listen, folks, you heard it right here. I want you to make sure that you connect with Terraleen Campbell. Make sure you connect with her. Go to her website, TerraleenCampbell.com, and grab her book, from carefree to caregiver. If you happen to forget her website, if you go to iworship96.com, you'll be able to find information there. You can go to my website, TamikaHall.com, and I also have a link to her website as well as to the book. So there's no excuse, honey. Listen, I got some more great music coming your way. Keep it locked. iWorship 96 FM.
What kind of love is this that brings me so much joy? God is love, God is peace. He is my everything. God is love, God is peace. He is my everything. What kind of man is this that gave his life for you and me? What kind of love is this that hung and died on Calvary?
Hall Radio Show right here on iWorship 96 FM Radio, where you know we spend the best in gospel and Christian music. I am sitting here in the virtual studio hanging out with my girls from the group of Esther. Ladies, how is everybody doing tonight?
Great. How are you?
We're good.
Isn't it beautiful when ladies can all come together? There's no spirit of competition, nothing. We are here for one thing, and it's about glorifying the kingdom. I'm so excited to have you all joining me right here on the Tamika Hall Radio Show. Thank you so much for being here.
We're so glad
to have you.
So I'm actually speaking. So there's three of you, even though you almost sound like a group of triplets. I love it. Where everybody's answering at the same time. I love that. But I want to give everybody an opportunity to just meet who you are. I mean, we've been showcasing your beautiful picture and things like that, but I want to know who everybody is. So can you all take a minute and introduce yourself and let us know what part you sing in the group? Like if you're a soprano, alto, baritone, I doubt anybody's a baritone, but I'm just saying. So we'll start with you, Jillian.
Okay, I'm Jillian Baskerville, and I sing soprano.
I'm Tramika Richardson, and I sing alto.
And I'm Jay Simpson, I'm the tenor.
And this is Tamika Hall, and I sing baritone. I'm just kidding. You guys like how I just added myself into the group? And I really sounded like a dude, probably not, but, you know, probably not. Well, you all welcome so much to the show. So listen, take us on a journey. Jillian, I'm gonna ask each of you this question, but I love speaking to artists. And I love asking, when did you discover that you actually had a talent? Because let's be honest, we might sing in church, and sometimes the church mothers can be brutally honest and tell you that you don't sound good, and a lot of times though they tell us that we sound great even when we didn't, you know what I mean? But I want to know, when did you discover that you actually had a gift for music? We'll start with you, Jillian.
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Actually, I discovered when I was probably, I think, 6 or 7 years old, I discovered it. I was actually playing piano, and as well, I was playing the saxophone. And I was singing a little bit, but I was basically instruments at the time, playing instruments.
So when did you know that you actually had a voice? Because now you're able to do everything. I didn't realize that you played instruments and stuff. Like, so when did you realize, okay, I can actually sing though? I mean, did you have to sing in church, or were you just kind of doing a little ditty around the house?
Well, first it started in the church singing, but you know, you really realized, I think I can really do something, was probably around first, second grade, because I was always in music in school.
I love it. What about you, Tramika, whose name is almost like mine? Yes, I love it.
Well, actually, I am the late bloomer as far as music. I didn't start singing, really. I didn't start singing. Everybody else's testimony is, I was 2 and 3. No, honey, I was in junior high school. I was in junior high school, eighth grade, and it was purely accidental. I was in drama and I was in dance because I was a dancer first. Now, you couldn't tell that today. But was doing a monologue, and teacher was asking us to act it out or find something to display this monologue. And I sang a song. Don't know why I chose to do that. And he told me, I want to see you after class. And I was like, oh, my God, I thought I was in trouble. And he took me to my counselor and said, we're changing her to musical theater.
What?
And it just went, yep, and it just went from there, I promise you. Yeah, I was cool.
Now, this is funny, Tramika. I'm going to tell you, when I was in college, because I actually got my degree in theater, so when I was in college, I initially wanted to be Judge Judy, so I was pre-law, and then who knows why I do what I do. Yeah, second semester of my junior year in college, I'm like, man, it's boring in the courtroom. I hated it. And I was like, I'm going to do theater because I've always wanted to do this. And it was a Shakespearean unit, and we had to deliver a monologue, and I chose to sing it because, for one thing, I hated Shakespeare. I know every thespian, every thespian out there is probably like, how could she hate Shakespeare? But I hated it. So I sang it because I could not remember it any other way. Mm-hmm. And I blew the house down, and I was just like, yo, I just was trying to get through this. You know what I mean? But yes, it's funny how those things, I just blew them, you know, I was just like, I mean, I was just trying to get through this assignment with an A. I mean, now, of course, I was forced sing when I was 5, and I didn't realize I had a voice, but I was forced to sing in church, and that, you know, somebody told me that they felt like I could, so, okay, thank you people for making me do stuff, but Look, I digress for a minute. Have you guys seen that meme with the young boy who, I think he was delivering a speech or something, and all of a sudden he was like, I hate this church. Do you guys remember? Have you seen that?
Yes.
But, you know, it's like it. And, you know, it was so funny to me. Tell me you did not fall out. Because it was so funny to me because I'm like, church folks will make you feel like that when you're little.
Yes. I think he represented every child that ever did a speech in church.
Yes. They make you preach when you don't want to preach. They make you sing. You know, he said what we all wanted to say at one point. I hate this church. I thought it was the funniest thing ever. I'm sorry, Joy. We didn't forget about you.
Oh, no problem.
And look, first of all, I love your name because my little sister's name is Joy. But the whole family is right here on the call. I just love it. So, Joy, when did you know that you actually could sing? Were you one of the two-year-olds that Tramika was talking about?
No joke. Honestly, it was like three. That was mainly because my dad. My dad was a singer. He was like, everybody used to call him like the gospel Luther Vandross, like when I was a kid.
Hey.
So I used to sing songs with him in church and then started doing solos. But then I kind of got extremely shy and stopped singing for a very long time until from like the age of like, I'll say maybe 10 to about 8th grade. My 8th grade teacher had no idea I could sing, but she knew my dad because he was the principal of our school. And she's like, I know your dad. I know he can sing. I'm assuming he can sing. So every day after school, she worked with me, and I did a surprise song for the Christmas concert, and I started singing again after that. But I originally started singing at the age of 3.
But, like, what pressure? You know, what if you couldn't sing? That would have been so tragic for you to sing. You know what I mean? Like, what if you sounded horrible and he was trying to work with you and finally was like, girl, I'm sorry. You didn't bring any joy to my life with your voice.
I think they honestly would have been devastated, truly. I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dad, for putting the pressure on. No, I'm just kidding.
Really funny. I think that's kind of what happened. I just kind of got scared and was like, yeah, no more pressure. I'm going to stop doing this. And then
I bet.
It came back eventually.
I mean, with him being like the gospel Luther Vandross and stuff, I mean, I could totally understand that. So with all of you having such an incredible talent, and any one of you can answer this, and honestly, if all three of you want to answer it, I'm interested to hear from everyone. So when did you decide to sing for the kingdom? You know, because you could have sang any genre of music. Why did you choose to sing for the kingdom of God?
I, in high school, I was a musical theater major. I went to performing arts high school. And when I went to college, I mean, I've always been in worship from a kid on. I've always loved worship. So I just naturally was a worship leader and loved singing, praise, and worship. So I eventually went on to get a worship arts degree, and that's kind of where I just kind of stayed in that place as much as I still love musical theater. I actually am a music teacher, so I teach kids theater. But I've always loved singing praise and worship and just a worshiper. So it's just a natural progression. It's just a natural thing for me. Just, you know, kind of fell into my lap, but just was natural for me to do.
Nice. What about you, Tramika?
Let's see. Well, when I first started singing, of course, you know, we are, I think all three of us are just church babies anyway. But when I found out I could sing, I always loved our choir at church. And so I don't think it was ever this is so weird. So I started singing musical theater and then classical. Gospel was just a natural progression. My first line on the professional scale was I was almost 15 years old and I started singing with Norman Hutchins. I was the youngest one in his group. And I, you know, audition came through the church and I was like, oh, I want to just try. Because at this point, I'm kind of like, I'm new to this whole thing and auditioning and all that. I knew nothing about it. And I was like, I just want to see if I can get it. And I walked in there and got it. And was the youngest one to record with Norman Hutchings. I was almost 15 years old. And I sang
now,
with him for a couple of years.
Norman is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. So Pastor Norman is in Delaware. You know, he pastors a church in Delaware.
Uh-huh.
So where were these auditions at? Were you in Delaware or this was...
No. So he used to be on staff at West Angeles in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yes. And so he used to have Norman Hutchings and the L.A. Praise Ensemble. And I was a part of L.A. Praise.
Oh my gosh! Because I know him from Delaware. You know, I know him from he's Pastor Norman and all that. I mean, he's still amazing. You know how it is when people when people live somewhere, they're all like, oh, that's just so and so. No, I mean he's still that dude. So that's interesting to know.
Yeah, it was amazing. He actually had to break. We actually disbanded the group because he got a pastoral assignment back in Delaware, I believe, and that's when. But it was an amazing experience, and it was a wonderful foundation. I learned a lot through him.
Awesome. I love it. What about you, Jillian? What made you decide to sing for the kingdom?
Honestly, I agree with Tramika by being like church babies. Started in the church, and when I was in school, I did classical music. But honestly, I kept going. I was in the choir, but I kept going to the gospel choir because everything else was boring to me. So, and I think it's just because of the roots or just being grounded in it, from being raised a church baby, all of us. So I just couldn't leave it alone, honestly. used to sing R&B, not professionally, but, around the house, blah, 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 but always went right back to gospel. So I can't...
It's just something about singing about R&B Jesus.
Like that. Yeah.
It's just something about it. There's just something about singing about that name. And,
That's right.
I feel you. I love it. And so... Again, I'm digressing just a little bit, but, obviously Sunday Best is back. So a couple weeks ago, they had the episode where they had the contestants revamp the secular songs, like Ella Mae's, I think it was Boot Up or what. It wasn't Boot Up. I can't remember. No, it was Boot Up. But anyway, they had them do that. There was, Trip, yeah. There was so much controversy about it. Yo, please tell me. Somebody tell me, what were your thoughts about it? And then, of course, I gotta give my opinion. But I want to know, what are y'all's thoughts?
So I just watched it 2 nights ago, that episode. out of all of the songs, I thought Trip and the New Edition song were, the most, odd choices.
I was like, Trip had way too many words.
It was just an interesting choice, and there wasn't a really good way to turn that around for Jesus. it really just wasn't, and I felt like that person just, they were struggling really hard, and I can get why, just because it wasn't a good transition to really turn that particular song into. The other songs had a different flow, like Lost Without You and those were easier to translate into a more spiritual way, but Trip was a little
my parents are pastors, so of course I can't say of course, but my parents they don't know who Ella Mae is, and they had never heard Trip, so but I was just I was watching it with them, and I was like, I understand why she couldn't do it. I was like, first of all, there were way too many words. I was like, and she's probably thinking about the original. There is no way I could have done that song. I mean, because I would have been thinking about the original. I couldn't. Anybody else want to weigh in? What were your thoughts?
Unfortunately, I did not see it yet. And I'm actually sitting in my living room now because I was traveling a little bit. And so I just got home. I'm planning to watch it this weekend. But I heard a lot.
Spoiler alert.
And people were not okay. People were like,
what is this? You know, this isn't like right. It was a lot of controversy. Now, I will say this. You know, my parents were both pastors as well. And, mm-hmm. you know, but one thing that my mother never made me, my father used to sing a gospel quartet. And, you know, that's a whole nother life. And,
whole nother life.
Oh, yeah. He's a quartetta. He was a quartetta. And,
yeah.
But my mother always, gave me the liberty or helped me to know that it was okay to take Jesus everywhere you went. Now, not you getting there. If your light, you think you're going to take your light somewhere and it gets a little dim, then don't you touch it in there. But if you feel like you can go in there and shine, you know, that's a part of that becoming all things to all, you know, so that you can win. You know, you can't be so untouchable or non-relatable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we do get to going a little too far, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we lose people. So I think I haven't seen it yet, but I believe there's a balance to it all. You know, there's a balance.
I can't even lie. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just can't. I just need to finally see it because, like, there's
yeah, I need
so
you to see it.
Conversation. Yeah, you
there
have
was
to
a
see
lot
it
of conversation. People were upset. They were, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I actually enjoyed the show. I liked it better seeing them. It's like, okay, if you're going to do it, how would you flip this around and make this about God? Because now I think it's easier for us who were in music and we understand that people sample songs mm-hmm. all the time. They sample music.
Right.
It happens all the time. Like I've heard a lot of gospel things. Like I can't remember who the person is, but she took something from John P. Keith, one of his newest songs, and I can't remember what her name is, but her song is secular. What is it? You don't know my story. Whatever it is, but it's
oh,
all
yeah,
in her
yeah.
secular song, but it's like all John P. Key all day. And I mean, to me, I kind of enjoyed, not kind of, I did. I enjoyed the show. I mean, I was able to be like, man, that was a weird song choice, but I enjoyed it. I liked it better than them having them sing a secular song and say, you sound too churchy. Yeah, I sound
right,
churchy. I am churchy. You
so
know,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jillian,
I totally agree. Like the show was good. It was just that particular song, Trip was just a weird choice. But the rest of the show was fine.
Like, yeah,
that was fine. But that LMA song was just weird.
It was so weird. I don't even understand. I'm like, y'all should have did Boot Up or something because it would have just flowed maybe easier.
Right.
But I don't even know. So Jillian, in 2012, you actually felt led to form a group. And clearly we know that because it's Esther and we're talking to you all now. But what I want to know is why did, you know, where did the call come from for you to form a group and not necessarily embark on your own solo career?
That was a good question.
That's what I do.
It was a good question. Honestly, I'm speechless on that one. But God spoke to me about a group. He didn't particularly say about me doing it by myself, but a group, specifically a group, I want to say. He spoke to me about a group, about an all-girl group. Actually, when God did speak, I spoke to Shamika about the group, and when we were talking about the group, we thought it would be, like, kind of fly, but the fact that it would be all the worship leaders. You remember that, Troy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would be praise and worship leaders. But
nice.
I want to say, honestly, he didn't speak to me about me doing it by myself. To be honest,
you know what? I mean, honestly,
and I never
though,
thought that... about it because of the. I'm sorry, I never thought about it because the fact of always being in the background
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
was always doing background things. So to actually be just out there by myself would be a big challenge. Even if you're like doing praise and worship. You still have a team behind you.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, being solo is a different level as to me as opposed to doing background. And at that point of time, when God had spoke, I was actually singing background. So, I don't know.
But I think what you're saying is good, and it speaks to all of us in terms of operating in our lane. And by lane, it doesn't mean, Jillian couldn't do a solo career, but God told you to do something specific. And I think a lot of times we mess up and we experience failure because we do something opposite of what God said. So, you know,
That's your answer, right? It was very simple.
God told me to do a group. Okay. Well, that's why you're successful, because he told you to form a group. I love it. And what's, now, I was going to ask you what made you different, but you've already kind of answered that, is the fact that all of you are worship leaders. But something else that I found out, while we were hanging out in the virtual studio before jumping on live, is that you all are in different parts of the country. So, you know, because some of you are in California, some in Texas. How does that work? Like, people can't even get along, and they live 5 minutes from each other. So how does that work?
Actually, to be honest with you, we make it work.
Yeah.
Whenever we get a call, we make it work. This is just the point of being determined. We actually started in Los Angeles as a group, and things happened. We've actually been formed, for 6 years now? And, in our own personal lives, things happen, and God directed us to different parts of the world, and we're not leaving each other alone. We're still a group. We're not going to let that tear the group apart by us being in different states and parts of the city, different parts of the city.
Right.
So just being determined and just making it work, making it happen.
Right. Can I interject something right here?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I think what has happened since we have been lived apart is that when we come together, okay, I'll speak for myself. We were just together this past weekend, and I missed them so much. And but when we came together and we were working, it was like phenomenal. We were like, come on, Esther, y'all in the building. You know, I don't know. It's like when we get together, we bring all of it. We bring our A game. You know, we really, I think we had a wonderful weekend of just loving each other, working together, and, getting to hang out, because it's been a minute, you know. It was really good. And the thing is,
I love it.
I think when God puts something together, I know that when God assembles something, and he definitely molds it, and he makes it, and he fashions it, I think it doesn't matter where we are. When we come together, our sound is Esther, our anointing is Esther, who we are is Esther. And when we come together in that unit, it just flows, because it's a God thing. God did it. We didn't do it. Trust me, we didn't do it. Come on now.
I love it. Yes. I love it. Let's talk about the anointing and everything. And I would think you all would have to be super focused too, because when you plan to come together, it's like, okay, let's work. And like you said, it's like, let's get to work and let's make this thing happen. Let's talk about competition, because a lot of groups break up because there's competition. But I can just hear the sisterhood, you know, between all of you. And I'm not sure. I feel like I know I heard from Joy, and then also Jillian. So, Tramika, you talk to us. How is it that you guys are able to flow without any type of competition between you?
I definitely think we respect each other's oil. You know what I'm saying? We definitely know. We've identified each other. We know who we are. You know, we know that Joy can be sometimes the most verbal when it comes to talking. They know that I always have an accidental preach in me. We know that Jill is
talking about oil already, girl.
You know what I'm saying? We know that Jill is going to handle the business. Like, it's one of those things where we respect each other, knowing your lane, and us not trying to drive in each other's lane. You know what I'm saying? We know, you know, what God has called us to do individually and collectively. That's why when we're individual, we're individual. But when we're collective, we are definitely, you know, where there's unity, God commands a blessing. So when we come together, the blessings of the Lord flow. You know, he does what he mm-hmm. wants to do through us, and we go back to our corners, and we're like, all right. It's just a molding, you know, taking the time to know each other, not knowing each other just in the flesh, but knowing each other in the spirit. We know who we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, when you know who you are, there is no need for competition. There's no need to feel like somebody's going to outshine the other one. Because, like you said, you all have your perfect place, and there's a moment for everybody to shine. Okay, so, Jillian, I want you to talk to us about your single, Give Him the Praise, because you guys actually made it to the Billboard charts. So talk to us about the song. Where did it come from? You know, do you all write your own music? Honey, I need to know all about it.
Well, actually, the song was written before the group was actually formed. It was just written just to be writing, to be honest with you. God gave Ivan Hunter the music because he's the one who produced it and called me up and said, Jill, I got something that I want you to do. And I was like, okay. He was like, I want you to write to the song. And when I heard it, I was like, okay. Actually, my first time really writing a song professionally, but God, just at the time, I was a praise and worship leader, and praise just came to me. Just everything was just about praise, and I wanted the song to be about praise. And that's actually how the song came about, Give Him the Praise.
And you
really
know what?
Thought it doesn't... of it as...
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
No, I really thought because at the time I was already just always doing praise and worship, so everything mm-hmm. was just praise. And the way the song sounded, I could just hear a praise and worship leader singing the song. Come on, everybody! Come on, everybody! Entering in the church into praise, and so that's how it all happened. And Tramika was the one who said when we formed the group. Tramika was the one who was like, "How about we?" Before giving the praise as our first single. And that's how it happened.
I love it. I love it. So what did it feel like to see your song on the Billboard chart?
Oh. I was excited, to be honest with you.
Was it expected? Were you guys trying to do that, or it just happened?
You know what? Can I be honest? This is Tramika.
Oh, yeah.
I really, because I, first of all, you know how you hear something and you're like, this has to be out. When I first heard the song, I was like, why haven't you released that? You know, just on your own, like, why haven't you released that? Ultra. But then when the group was assembled and we needed a seed in the ground. Hello? We needed a seed in the ground. And I was like, God. And I was like, let's do it. Let's do it. I don't think any of us anticipated that it was going to hit Billboard, but we were just trying mm-hmm. to get a seed in the ground and then look at the harvest from the seed. I'm elated to see what God has done with it because we were just trying to put a seed in the ground to get a to get this ball rolling, and God just blew mm-hmm. on it, blessed it, and look at where it made it to. I'm elated, and I'm proud of God. The God in us for, you know, doing the work.
Being obedient. Yeah.
Amen.
I love it. Amen. So how can people connect with you online? How can they buy your music? Give us all of that before we spin Give Him the Praise.
Well, you can go to our Instagram. It's Ladies of Esther, or our Twitter is also the same one, or on Facebook, our Esther page. Or you can go to our website at www.ladiesofesther.com. You can also find all of our music on our page or on all of the social media music outlets, Amazon, Spotify, iTunes. It's everywhere.
Before we go, I just realized I've never asked the most obvious question. Why? Where did you guys come up with Esther as the name of your group? Like, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, we've been talking about Sunday's Best and everything else, and I never asked you, how did you come up with Esther? I guess I just accepted. I'm like, they're Esther. That's just who they are. But how did you come up with that as the name of your group?
Who wants to take that? Okay, I'll take it. We were in prayer. We didn't have a name. people knew us locally in the city, and I'm telling you, they probably called us everything. They were like Jillian and Friends. I mean, we've been everything. And we were praying. We were like, we have to have a name. And we were sitting in prayer one day, and I just heard the Lord say Esther. And when you think of Esther, you think just of what she was called to do in the earth. And all I could think was that we were called for an appointed season. You know, we were called to bring deliverance, of course. You know, what our different anointings represent as a whole. You know, we represent the excellence of God. We represent the beauty of God. You know, just queenly, priestly, you know, anointing, just functioning, those different functions. And it just kind of fit. We heard them announce it the first time. We kind of looked at each other and was like, yeah, it works. It works.
It works. It works. I love
call for a season such as this. Yeah.
You know what? You better say that. You better say it. Well, listen, I've had just a great time truly hanging out with the three of you tonight. Thank you so much for, you know, just dealing with my antics. I'm telling you, I feel like I'm part of the family because you guys just accept me for who I am. And,
Yes, folks,
you've been tuned in. Yeah, folks, you've been tuned in listening. Make sure that you visit them, ladiesofesther.com. Make sure that you visit them on all of their social media as well. Listen, we are getting ready to spin. Give him the praise. And you know I got some great music coming your way. Keep it locked. It's your girl, Tamika Hall. If you have not guessed it, yes, baby, it is her Royal Loudness herself right here on iWorship 96 FM Radio. I'm super excited because I've had my homegirl, Miss Kiwana Wright, hanging out in the virtual studio for me, and I'm just excited to welcome you to the Tamika Hall Radio Show tonight. How are you doing?
I am doing fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm really hyped to talk to you because I specifically love speaking to, I love talking to authors, you know. I mean, that's actually part of my background, is that when I'm not on the air, I'm a book publisher and I'm a book designer. So it's always fun for me to be able to speak to authors and speak to them from a different end of the angle. So I absolutely love that. Now, let me just ask you this. What is the weather like in Michigan? Because you are patched in from Michigan. What's the weather like there?
Well, today it's around 80 degrees and it's raining.
Oh, nice.
So,
oh, no.
So, yes, it's hot out with the rain.
It's hot and muggy then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it muggy? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's been like that. I'm trying to tell you. Over here in Maryland, it's just like, I'm like, can it get any hotter? It's just been... it's been almost miserable, but I guess when there's snow on the ground, people complain about wanting the heat. So, you know, what can I say? What can I say? I guess the Lord sometimes is like, my kids are just never happy with what I do. Never happy.
Yes.
So, Kiwana, let's jump right into things. So you're a mother, you're an author, you're a publisher, a motivational speaker. I mean, how do you balance everything?
Well... I balance, I guess I have like a schedule that I kind of keep to weekly. I have a what to do list, and I try to prioritize what is most important that week or what deadline I need to meet. And my daughter is very understandable, so a lot of times she helps me as well as we've in the process of publishing her book. So she's going to also become an author as well at the age of 9. So watching me has sparked for her to now want to become an author and publisher as well. So I think we kind of work good together as a team.
Yes.
Around the dinner time, we're at the table talking and discussing about book ideas and what can we do and all those great things. So balancing it is sometimes difficult and sometimes it's fun. So I guess I get to share the side
best of both worlds, right?
World. Yep.
But you know what I love about what you're doing is that you're bringing her into everything right now. I think that's good, and I know it's something I try to do with my children. You know, it's like, okay, if mommy has a book signing or something, well, y'all gonna be there. You're gonna be there working at table. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It teaches them how they learn about money. They learn how to speak to the public. And so do you the two of you kind of do things like that together?
Yes, we do. Actually, she started out by hosting my book signing. I allowed her to do the welcome and the introduction there a year ago. And she also is preparing. She's going to have her first speaking engagement for her book coming up in September.
Oh,
so we have been rehearsing almost every night, practicing. We're going to do like an interview type thing instead of just putting her up on stage and having to tell her story. I decided that we're going to do like an interview type act on the stage. So that way she'll feel more comfortable and I can kind of prompt her with the questions and what to say. So she has been very active with me selling my books. She recently just became an entrepreneur as well. So she's kind of getting the gist of selling and talking to the public because she's have had 3 events now that she has sold her lip balms. She is the entrepreneur of Taylor's Lip Balms. So
she gets
a chance to talk to the public and sell her lip balm. So, yes, we have both partnered up together, mother and daughter.
Well, I love it. I love it. And I know that in addition to you absolutely just loving your baby girl, Taylor, I know that you have a love and a passion for helping women. And I know that you actually have a dream to work and serve in full-time women's ministry, but talk to us about the work that you do for women's empowerment.
Yes, currently I have volunteered over a year now at a local shelter here in the city of Flint, Michigan. And I volunteer every fourth Saturday of the month there for an hour and a half, just empowering the women and encouraging them to get their life back on track. We also share some spiritual encouragement as well. And then sometimes we play like games and trivia with them. So when they leave there, they're like more empowered than when they first showed up. So that's the joy that I get to go out in the community and talk with women to just encourage them, uplift them, and tell them you too are somebody. And you can, just because things may not seem to be going well now in your life, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that we have to stay there, that there is mm-hmm. a future. Every day is a new beginning, a new start.
Amen. And you know, I remember reading in your bio that you were from Flint, Michigan, but it I don't know what it was. It didn't trigger until you actually said that you're right there working in the trenches of Flint.
Yes.
With the water crisis and things that you have all had to battle, what is life like there? And, you know, has that impacted the amount of work that you have to do when it comes to helping women?
It did. Actually, I wrote a chapter in a book that's in the process of coming out. We did our pre-sales about 2 weeks ago. It's called The Healing Journey. I wrote a chapter in there about the Flint water crisis. And I just feel from the water crisis, it really brought the community back together. It brought us back to, like, actually communicating with your neighbors and going out into the community and talking to one another and just being able to support one another through those times. And actually, we're going to hopefully be able to share some stories, some of the stories from the women eventually in the anthology that will most likely be coming up in 2020. I would like to visionary that and see if we can get a couple stories put out there and published so people can understand what we really truly went through back in 2014 when they told us that our water was no longer safe to drink. And I tell you, it changed my life dramatically. At the time, my daughter was like 5 years old, and I had to teach her, no, you can't drink from the water fountains. No, we can't use the water in the in our restroom. We can't even use it to brush our teeth and wash up.
Wow.
We have to use this bottled water that I placed out in the restroom for us to do it. I had to eventually use bottled water to wash our clothes, to bathe in, to wash our dishes. Just every area of our life, we had to heavily rely on bottled water.
Everything
Everything just dramatically changed overnight. And we still don't really know the effects of how it has, that toxic water has damaged us mentally, emotionally, none of those things, because they said in a child it could take years before it actually show up in the bloodstream or really shows the effect of them consuming the toxic water. So we still really don't know the full effects. Even today, I still continue to use bottled water, even though they say the water is safe to use. So we still haven't gotten comfortable yet with using the tap water.
And I completely understand that. And it's amazing because, you know, those of us around the nation, we can, you know, those of us who sewed into, you know, sending clean water and things like that over there, it's still, you know, nobody can know the full impact unless you had to live through it. And I guess I remember being upset about the water crisis, and I think a lot of people around the world were upset about the crisis, but it never really registered that your whole entire life had to change, you know, just the way that you do everything. And we really take for granted being able to just go in the bathroom and brush our teeth, you know, without having to put, or, and then like you said, to have to wash your clothes using bottled water. I mean, that's expensive, my goodness. And so the fact of you even going through that, I just think that you're so amazing. I know that prayer is something that you rely heavily on, and you are a prayer warrior. And you also are the host of 5 Minute Words of Encouragement. Talk to us about the power of prayer and how you take in what you've gone through and then parlay that into 5 Minute Words of Encouragement.
Yes. So actually, my prayer life allowed me to be able to become an author. I have 4 current books that are on Amazon currently. My first book that I published is called Walking in God's Destiny, and truly that book is a book that has 10 powerful prayers in it. I tell a little bit about how the prayers came about, how each 10 prayers are unique and different, and how they will help you to be able to walk in your God-given purpose. I also have a book, 31 Daily Prayers for the Virtuous Woman. So if you need a little help with developing a daily prayer life, that book right there will help you to get on a path of just praying every day. There's a chapter for 31 days. And each reading is no more than 3 minutes. So it's something that you can take on the go with you. It's something that you can take 3 minutes and just get that extra boost, that spiritual empowerment that you may need. And then I also put a book together called Kiana's Collections of Prayers and Poems. Before I initially started writing prayers, I wrote poetry. And so I condensed those two books together. And that book is more for like my teenagers, young adults who may not want to get into the full Christian walk, or may just not feel like, oh, I don't want to get into this full-blown prayer life. I just want something that I can read every now and then when I'm at college or I'm in a dorm room or I'm somewhere alone and I just need a little few words of encouragement. They can get that. And so how I tie those into my 5-minute words of encouragement is usually I'll pick a prayer or a poem or a devotion from those books, and I'll air them on my Facebook Live on Fridays.
I love it. Yeah, and I think that is so great to do that. And you also have your own podcast as well.
Yes.
So talk to us about the podcast. Listen, y'all thought I was busy. Miss Kiwana here is like super duper busy. Yeah, so talk to us about your podcast, Good Night Prayers with Kiwana Wright.
Yes, Good Night Prayers with Kiana Wright was birthed over a year ago, but it was a dream and desire that I had ever since I was 20 years old. My mentor, she had a prayer line, and then she also aired her prayers over the radio broadcast. So I was like, I want to be able to do that. And so when podcast came about, I said, this is now my opportunity. So on Tuesday nights, I do a pre-recorded prayer. And then I upload it back to my Facebook page. So you can catch it on my podcast as well as my Facebook page. And it's just prayer for a good night. Just getting ready to
go
to bed.
Honey, and we need them for sure. Mm-hmm. So we can have a good night's rest. So your podcast, I know we can find it on Facebook. Is it available on like iTunes and all of that stuff?
Nope, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Don't worry, we'll talk.
But my life is so busy that I haven't been able
to.
No
worries.
Really,
I got you. I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it. Oh, don't worry. I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it once the show is over tonight. I got you. I got you on that, girl. That's how we work together. That's exactly what we do. Now, I feel like you may have talked about the book, but I'm not totally sure. Did you talk about your newest book that just came out this year, Leap Into Your God-Given Purpose?
Nope, I
want to talk about that. Yeah. Talk to us about your newest book.
Okay. So, The One Leap Into God's Given Purpose is 5 steps to activate your faith. So one leap is all it takes to activate your faith. Just like a baseball player prepares to play and win the game, there are steps that player has to take, right? So there are also steps as a believer that we have to take to increase our faith, to develop our faith. So here in this book, I have 5 steps that will help you to activate your faith and be able to ultimately take that leap that sometimes is often hard to do as believers. We often say, I would like to have that business, or I would like to write that book, and it's just a dream in our head. And sometimes we afraid to pick up that piece of paper, and sometimes we afraid to call that publisher or get with another author that may have already published their book to ask questions. So here I broke down just if you just need to get there before you actually do what it is. Step one talks about leap by seeking God. So many times we want to do things, but we don't seek him to ask what it is that you want me to do. I believe that when we do what he had in his will, I believe that that's when everything will happen in your life. Step two is how to increase your faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So in there I use stories from the Bible to kind of encourage the believer to go ahead and exercise your faith. Step three is believe in yourself. So many times we don't even believe in ourselves.
That
we believe in everybody else. We believe in everybody else's goals and dreams, but we don't dare to believe in ourselves. So I think about David and how he encouraged himself in the Lord in 1 Samuel 30:6. Step four is putting actions with your plan. Once you've already developed a plan, is now time to put action behind it, because a plan is only on paper, but your action is what you do. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Step five is less leap. Just do it, like Nike says. So I believe once you have put your action to paper, now it's time to work that plan, then it's time to just do it. And I had to, when I first started writing my book, I had to just do it. I didn't know an author. I didn't know anybody publishing. I didn't have anybody. All I had was just prayer, my computer, and my paper. And I Googled. I looked it up, and I found out how to self-publish my own book. So,
yes,
that's how I got started.
And, you know, and like you just said, I love the fact that, I mean, of course, you gave us just the quick Cliff Notes version of what the steps actually are. And I know that inside the book, you really outline and help us to actually activate our faith. And the thing is, you know, what I love about faith is that God doesn't require us to have even a lot of it. You know, it's like, I feel like we make it so hocus pocus. But it's like, God's like, if you can just trust me the size of a mustard seed, which you and I both know is, it's what, like the pinpoint?
Yes.
It's small. He's like, trust me just a little bit and let me prove myself to you. And, but I love the fact that you took the time to really pray and seek God on how to turn this into a guide so that our faith truly could be activated. I think this is definitely a powerful read. And I know it's not even a long read, but it is for sure powerful. And it's really what every believer needs to have in their library. How can people find this book, all of your books, and how can they connect with you also?
My books are all on Amazon, and I am on Facebook, Kiana Wright. I currently don't have a website yet. I am in the process of building one.
It's coming.
It's coming. I'm just new at this, so it's coming.
Yeah, you know, but here's the thing. This is what I think is really beautiful about this, is that you really are putting, you're putting your, what is it? You're putting your money where your mouth is. You're telling people to have faith, and you're telling people to step out, right? And I'm going to tell you, when I published my very first book, I didn't know how to do it either. I had no idea. I started researching, right? I mean, like, it was necessary. The website, all that stuff, it did. It came later. But I think that oftentimes God gives us an assignment, and we sit around and we won't do anything because we will say, well, I'm not going to release my book until my website's ready. You know, and it's like, no, if God told you to release the book, baby, do the job, do the work, and God will send people to you to help you, you know, get those other things in place. So listen, you're not behind. You're doing exactly what God told you to do.
Yeah.
You're doing exactly what he told you to do. Listen, I've enjoyed my time with you today. I can't wait to be able to interview little Taylor, because she needs to have her place here on the Tamika Hall radio show too. So I can't wait to introduce her, because I know she's probably just as savvy as her mom, and I love it. I love it. So once again, because I feel like we were disconnected a little bit, what is the name that people will look for you on Facebook so that they can be connected to you? Because I know somebody's going to want to connect with you after tonight.
Yes, Keyana Wright, K-E-Y-W-A-N-A, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T.
Amen. I love that. Listen, folks, you heard from Keyana Wright right here. She was the author spotlight on tonight. You heard about the other books that she has, but if you go to Amazon right now, I want you to look for the book, Leap Into Your God-Given Purpose, right? Even if you're on my website, that's TamekaHall.com, you'll be able to see a link to this right on her show page that is on my website, okay? So listen, you guys, get this book. Your faith needs to be activated. It is not a long book that is going to make you feel like your head is spinning. No, not at all. It is truly a five-step guide for you to be able to activate your faith and put everything into practice. Keyana, thank you again for being here. I appreciate you, and I want you to have a blessed
evening.
Hey,
what's up, everybody?
You too. Thank you.
Eric McFadden, and you're
tuned
in
live. Listen, you all got some more great music coming your way. Keep it locked. I Worship 96 FM.
We are proud to play and introduce to you the world premiere of our song titled My All. Here we go, My All.
I will praise you, Lord, my God. With all my heart, I will. You deserve it. Let's go.
I know that you are my King. Sometimes it feels like you're not listening. You're my liberty. Even though I know I haven't been there, I can call on you, Lord, when I need your help.
106 FM Radio, where we play the best in gospel and Christian music. It's your girl, Tamika Hall, here. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. And what about the I Worship song, right? Is it not the dopest song that you've just heard in a while? I'm super excited about our song, My All. It's been a beautiful thing to see it come together. You know, this was a vision that we had, was to put out, I Worship 96 mix. And I'm just really excited about it. And it sounds amazing. I'm so hype about all of the different artists that are a part of it. And I want you to please make sure that you go to your favorite musical store and download it, okay? You can also download it by going to iworshippraisemix.com, and you'll be able to get it from wherever you might like to get your music, because we have all the links listed right there. Listen, I really hope that you enjoyed my guest. You know, we had Minister Terrelline Campbell, who wrote the book Carefree to Caregiver. So just in case you didn't have that written down, you'll be able to find her. Make sure you connect with devotional author Kiwana Wright. Please make sure that you connect with her. And then I also want you to connect with the Ladies of Esther, just clearly a group of some amazing women. Listen, guys, my girl Kenya Collier is going to be in the house in just a few minutes. I want you to keep it locked right here. I Worship 96 FM Radio.